There.
Let's see.
So say we all.
Yes.
This is a Star Wars podcast. Star Wars. Okay. Let's clean the slate. This is Star Wars Report, episode 109.
Don't look back before you go. Eyes forward. Choices to make. Dreams to realize. Don't look back before you go. Know the truth. Learn to let go. Don't look back before you go. Before you leave.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. We're so glad that you've decided to tune in to just about the most fun half hour, or at least that's what it'll be about today, of Star Wars news and commentary, fun times with fun fans. Hey, I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We got a lot of news to talk about. Star Wars Rebels. Well, we finally know quite a bit more about it. Goodness, we know way more about this than we do Episode 7, and we'll be talking all about it with a guy who is at New York Comic Con and getting all the details live in person. But before we get to him, let's introduce the usual panel. Joining me once again, is, as always, is my sister, Bethany Blanton.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back on the show. And glad to see some new things coming out of Star Wars. It was all the excitement.
You know, this reminds me of...
And then a stretch of Tatooine Desert, as far as news goes.
I think that'll change. As we record, it's the 20th of October, 2013, and I imagine that in the next 2 weeks, we're going to get some big Episode 7 stuff. But who knows? I may be wrong, but maybe right. But let's also introduce Mr. Mark Herleman. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Whistler's all sad from the music choice you picked at the beginning. He misses his maker. you know, you ever think about the Twitter feed, though, kind of like the watch pot, the kettle that boils and all that? I mean, you know, Bethany was saying it seems like it's been this big oasis. I mean, imagine if you're hitting refresh every 5 seconds. Like, come on, give me something.
Well, we do have something this week, and here to talk about the Star Wars panel at New York Comic Con, where we got all the great new juicy details about the Star Wars animated series from Disney, Star Wars Rebels. It's Aaron Goins. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We are glad that you are here, and glad that we had someone to which we can tell you how jealous we were that we weren't there.
Yeah.
How was New York Comic Con, by the way?
I would have loved to have you guys there with me.
So well, we
next
did.
Next time, just plan ahead. New York Comic Con next year.
I'll tell you what, it would be like the greatest con explosion of all time. But we could do Celebration 7, Dragon Con, and New York Comic Con all in 1 year. Hey, heck, just throw in San Diego, and we'll do it all in 1 year, 2015. Get it out of our systems.
Hey, I came down to Dragon Con, so it's your guys' turn to come up here.
That is
to the Northeast.
Exactly. The year of the report.
This isn't the first time you've been to New York, though, for New York Comic Con, is it?
I've been to New York Comic Con twice.
And so this is your second time. How was it? I'm curious. What's the show like?
It's really cool. Like I went there last year, and I usually go to Philadelphia Comic Con. I go to the different Star Wars celebrations, and I had been to Fan Days. But this con has more of a media feel to it, kind of like what I hear San Diego Comic Con's like.
Yeah.
Although I've never been to San Diego. So I hear this is kind of like if you want to have the San Diego Comic Con feel, this is the closest you're going to get in the East, on the East Coast.
Well,
but it's not quite yet overwhelming. You know, crowds, yeah. But they had over 100,000 people, so it's getting that way.
Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk all about what we know about Star Wars Rebels and everything that you learned in person in New York It's time for the news. That song reminds me of the Cantina theme. So here we are. We're going to talk about what we learned from the Star Wars Rebels panel. Now, what's the story, Aaron? I remember hearing about this thing for weeks leading up to it. This is like the first big official Lucasfilm really acknowledgement and presence of this project. And I think fans really, for the first time since Celebration Europe, but on the stateside, this is a first for us.
Yeah, it's definitely the first official Lucasfilm panel for the Rebels, you know, show in the U.S. So in New York Comic Con is kind of an interesting locale for them to choose to do that, because Lucasfilm in the past never really has had much of a presence there. But I guess it was the next big con, and it was right about the time they wanted to talk about it. So us Northeasterners got lucky, and they did something up here. So that was cool.
So what were before I jump through all the details, just from memory, what were the big takeaways? What did the crowd react to most from what you guys heard?
I mean, I think the fact that they set in stone what the timeline of it is going to be, the fact that it's 14 years after Revenge of the Sith, you know, that was, you know, big news. And then obviously the reveal of the villain was, you know, what that for me personally was like, whoa, that is not what I expected at all.
I was like, look at the hilt of that lightsaber.
Like,
it's like Tron and Star Wars combined.
So was it like immediate cheering or awkward silence when they announced the Sith Inquisitor?
It was, I mean, everything that they showed, there was cheering. It was a huge packed room. I think it was the biggest room that they were showing stuff at.
Really?
It was on the big stage there. And the room was packed. And as soon as the Clone Wars logo came up at the beginning of
You're breaking up for just a second. What was the last thing you said, Aaron? Let's pause for a moment. All right, sorry about that, Aaron. We lost you for a moment, but we are back. You were talking about the reactions that we were seeing.
Well, I don't know how much you heard what I was saying, but basically the reaction...
Just as you were getting really excited about all the reaction...
So the reaction to pretty much everything they showed was very big. You know, the crowd, there was a big crowd there. Everything that they showed on the screen was getting cheers and claps, and you know, including the reveal of the villain. So, yeah, so it was a good reaction.
So I'm going to kind of punch through these in timeline, and definitely I want to get what I want to get from you, Aaron, is the kind of the feel of the room as they went through it. And I'm referencing a post from Lightsaber Rattling, which I just kind of plug of the show of the day, is that I've been perusing Lightsaber Rattling, and man, Pete, he's got a great, he's redesigned it and it looks great. He's got some fantastic stuff here. But he talks about the first thing is the executive producer triumphant, essentially. You have Simon Kinberg, you have Dave Filoni, and then you have, I'm blanking on the fellow's name, Greg Weissman. Yes, Gargoyles, of course. So you've got three executive producers. Did they talk much about that?
They had a little intro video that kind of introduced everyone.
Okay.
And like their, you know, what they were doing for the show. So they didn't really focus that much on it for the panel. A lot of the stuff they showed was reveals of like artwork and that type of thing. That was the bulk of the panel.
Yeah.
But at the beginning they did intro them.
That makes sense. And Simon Kinberg, he's working outside of just Rebels, if I'm remembering correctly. I believe that he's and I think he's basically, he wrote the 1 hour premiere and consulting with other scripts, essentially, is his role, according to Lightsaber Rattling. And so, yeah, they showed basically artwork for vehicle designs. They showed the AT-DP Walker, Star Destroyers, TIE Fighters, speeder bikes, you name it. They even had the troop transport, the old Kenner one I saw, which, by the way, I've never seen a Kenner, other than at a sci-fi convention, I've never seen or owned any of the Kenner action figures at all. But there is this remarkable nostalgia for it, and I think that's kind of cool. It's fun to see those homages. But in some ways, something occurred to me while I was on a run a couple days ago, and I was thinking about some of this news, was that really, Dave Filoni, when like I saw more internet buzz, well, in my circle of Star Wars fans, because obviously the... my Twitter following is not the representation of the whole internet, but like of the people I follow on Twitter, there is more, almost as much buzz and excitement about the troop transport the Kenner old Kenner model design as there was about the Sith Inquisitor, which just kind of boggles my mind, which kind of made me think, you know what? Dave Filoni kind of treats expanded universe characters, and I say Dave, the creative force behind the Clone Wars and, of course, now Rebels, seem to treat expanded universe in the same category as vintage Star Wars toys. Like when Walrus Man shows up in the Clone Wars, everyone's excited. And then of course when you know, if Kyle Katarn were to show up or something like that, you'd get a similar reaction. It's funny how it strikes me that the collecting edge and expanded universe edge of fandom are kind of the periphery, and it's fun and interesting to see the way that they try to pay homage to that, you know, side of the fan community. Because yeah, I guarantee you a large percentage of the audience is not going to know what the vintage Kenner troop transport toy was.
Yeah. I mean, collecting such a big part of Star Wars as a fandom. Yeah. And I think that Dave Filoni knows that. And he himself, I know, collects things. And he also reads some of the expanded universe, especially some of the more classic stuff like the Thrawn trilogy. So I think it's, you know, his way of kind of giving little shout outs to those fan groups, knowing that they are important to the whole of Star Wars.
Well, it's kind of the energy behind a show like this. I think what gave Clone Wars the energy that it's not behind your average Cartoon Network show is just that super hardcore Star Wars fan base that are going to watch it no matter what. And some people say that's a bad thing, that there's a subset of Star Wars fans who will just, if it has Star Wars, we're going to consume it. But in some ways I like that part of the community, because that's what kind of keeps the energy and lifeblood flowing, so to speak. But not just that,
that part of the community also, it's not like they are silent consumers either. They do give feedback and they do talk about
what Star Wars fans.
I'm not gonna buy your toy ever again.
But
you will not see my money. But by golly, by the maker, you will read my forum post about how I'm not gonna spend a lick of my money.
Mark, you've been doing this too long.
I've seen it all. As a collector, I just collect what I like, you know.
Yeah.
But I watch other people, and they're like, "I am done.
Well, I mean,
I'm not going to give a penny." And then you have the other side. It was like, "Well, they're just bringing in new fans every day to replace you. Don't you just feel replaced? Like you don't matter to them?" It's like, it really doesn't matter. You just keep enjoying it. If you don't like it, remember what you enjoyed. For me, it was always X-Wings.
Well,
you know, if there was a moment where I was like, Jar Jar, really Jar Jar? Well, I can always watch the episodes that have the X-Wings in them, and I'll be happy again.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I've always taken a little exception to the implication that, well, there's a hardcore group of fans who will just watch or read or consume anything, because that implies that...
I resemble that remark.
Well, that implies that Lucasfilm really doesn't have to make a good product, and I don't really think that that's the case.
Fair enough.
They make a good product. I mean, there have been some flops, but I mean, let's look at the holiday special. Even that had some shining moments. Boba Fett.
Exactly. Well, I've poked my fun. Well, not poked fun of, but I am not a collector, and have certainly expressed how it's hard for me to understand that aspect of fandom. But then again, I am sitting here looking at my special Georgia Aquarium edition of the Otters Strike Back mug that I couldn't resist buying at the gift shop because the otters at at the Atlanta Aquarium. Excuse me. Design. We were talking about kind of vehicle design. How similar is this stuff to the Clone Wars designs from what you observed, Aaron?
Surprisingly so, based on the concept art, at least.
Let's be honest. I mean, I keep hearing...
I want to pick your brain on this, because they're saying that they're not compatible. But what I'm looking at, I'm like, how is it not compatible? Like, couldn't you just apply one extra filter to the Clone Wars and then boom, there you go, you're in Rebels territory?
Well, and that's what they're not using the same models, but the style, let's be honest, the style looks extremely similar to me.
Yeah.
Like, frankly, the Sith Inquisitor is like two steps removed from the Sun in the Mortis trilogy. Dave Filoni was on Rebel Force Radio this week. I was just listening to that yesterday, and he talked about how their stylistic choices are different. And even in the article at Lightsaber Rattling, he talks about how, you know, the TIE fighters have larger bodies and shorter wings as kind of a stylized Macquarie-esque look. But the pictures I've seen so far, it's not like directly inspired by Ralph McQuarrie, say that five times fast, but it's more like a splash of flavor of McQuarrie has been inserted into the Clone Wars style. At least that's my observation so far.
I think the budget for the show is going to be a lot less than it was for the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So I think as the Clone Wars got toward the end and they were really putting out very highly produced episodes, I think it was starting to get very almost realistic looking, at least in some of the aspects of the show. Yeah. And I think you're going to see a lot less of that. So you're not going to see as, you know, awesome, perfect looking animation that we were getting toward the end of Clone Wars. I think it's going to look much more cartoony. And so that's the one difference, I think. Like, they couldn't take, let's say, not that they're going to do this, but if they were going to use somebody like Ahsoka, they're not going to use the same character model because there's enough difference in the animation production process now because it's on a lower budget. At least that's kind of what I've gathered.
Yeah.
But what about a character like the Hutts? I mean, that would be a character that I could see making the jump easy enough. From what I've seen, I've only seen a couple panels of characters. I mean, is that wood type of feel like to Obi-Wan's beard and stuff? Is that the major change in stylization? Is that's been dropped?
It was hard to tell with just the concept art that they showed. Most of it was vehicles, which it's kind of, you know, even in animation, it's hard to kind of tell what the style of a show is going to be based on just vehicles. Yeah. It's more when you see the start seeing close-ups of the human faces and things like that where we'll be able to see the real differences, which I don't think we've really gotten that yet. I know they showed a couple. They showed like an Imperial officer, and of course they showed this Inquisitor. The Inquisitor is still an alien, so he's not going to have that, you know, he's not going to look like a human. So once we get some more close-ups of the humans in the show, I think it'll be easier to kind of tell what the stylized differences are going to be.
Well, one of the things that intrigued me was the stormtroopers. I heard that we're going to see that they're actually common rank people conscripted into the ranks, that they don't use clones. But with the Clone Wars, we saw the Phase 2 armor come in, and man, I was really excited about the look of that armor. But I'm not really a fan of the stormtrooper armor, and I don't know what it is about this new style, but something about it reminds me too bubblegummy, and it just loses that intense feel that the Clone Wars Phase 2 armor had. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. Riley, am I the only one there that has that feeling with stormtroopers?
No, Riley and I were actually talking about that. I believe you had something to say, Riley.
Well, I'm glad to see that they were able to recycle the Detour stormtroopers.
Is that what?
That's what he reminds me of.
Because I was like, Riley, these look like Detour troopers, sort of, anyway.
Oh my goodness!
Well, I think he said something about them.
There is an aspect of it that's weird.
They're trying to build up to the current armor, so they wanted to start out kind of a little bit different, so they can kind of build up to it. So I actually personally didn't.
It's like a Phase Zero kind of thing, then.
Right. It's not supposed to be the same armor that obviously that they're using by the time Episode 4 comes around, and he did mention that.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, and I love it. I saw that there's concept art for the Imperial pilot, the ATDP pilot, and I don't have the image in front of me. I can't remember where it was, but I loved that design. But yeah, so the last thing we want to talk about here is the Inquisitor himself, and that was definitely the big reveal, and that was, I think, something that I think they wanted to save something big for this panel, so it wouldn't just be, oh, here's some concept art. And that was really cool to see that they have that image, which looks pretty finished. It looks like they worked on the image, the image, and got it, you know, looking really well for this event.
Yeah, I think that was the part of the event that really kind of completely caught me off guard, because I knew that they were planning on revealing something, but the fact that they revealed the main villain of the show and showed us exactly what he's going to look like. And the fact that he's a Imperial Inquisitor.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Like, because I had always thought, just from the information that had come out so far about the show, that we weren't going to see Jedi, we weren't going to see Sith, really. We weren't going to see lightsabers, that type of thing. But now that they've revealed that the main villain is a lightsaber-wielding.
Well, that was the assumption based on the live-action series, though. They never said anything about no Jedi and Rebels, or did they?
No, they never did.
You're right there.
Just from some conversations I had with people.
Sure.
It was kind of pointing at that wasn't going to be their focus. And so I still think that we won't see a lot of that kind of stuff. I think it's going to be very minimal. Like, we're going to have this main villain, and then we may have one focused Jedi character. But the fact that there is a villain that uses a lightsaber that's not Darth Vader, I think it's pretty, it's a surprising thing for me personally.
And for me, I was excited about the lightsaber. I mean, I didn't see the lightsaber when I first looked at the image, and then when I went back to it, I was like, oh wow, the way the hilt was, it's got the circle that goes around the hilt and his hands in the middle of it, and it's a dual blade, but a shorter lightsaber hilt than most. But the fact he's an Inquisitor and he's got the lightsaber and he's actually seen with it branded in front of the stormtroopers, it was like, oh, okay, this guy leans a lot more towards dark Jedi end of things. So I'm very curious to see how this guy got into that role. What's his backstory? You know, things like that. That's going to be stuff that's super exciting. But the aspect that Aaron was talking about how, you know, there should be no Jedi or limited Jedi and that kind of stuff makes you wonder, though, is this one of those things where, you know, Lucas has always been clear about the amount of Jedi that there are not in this time period. There are not a lot of Jedi. But now it's Disney's ballgame now. Could they maybe be a little more lenient in that? Because they're from the standpoint of, well, you know, people do like Jedis. Jedis do tell good stories. And what better way to tell a good story right now than to throw a couple Jedi in the mix, and we can always have one pop up, and we can always find a way to, I mean, there's multiple ways from a story aspect you could find like a whole group of Jedi that escaped Order 66, and then you could have a Jedi from that group popping up here, there, and everywhere. I mean, there's all sorts of angles that could get around that kind of stuff, but I do have to question, you know, is this part of that aspect of Lucas doesn't have as much control, therefore, you know, maybe we're seeing a loosening of the reins on some of these things that were more dictated by George.
Possibly, but in Pete's article here, it talks about what?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. In Pete's article here, it talks about how that it was emphasized that while George doesn't have an active role in Rebels, that his concepts and ideas are definitely being used. And that there are specific examples of his influence in the show.
Well, specifically the fact that the stormtroopers are not going to be clones at all, right, was straight from George. That's what Pablo said.
Exactly.
So he's still having, you're right, Bethany, he's still having an influence, probably indirectly, but still influencing the direction of the show.
You know who I think we need to ask about this? I think it's time for Steve's Star Wars Minute. So we're going to see if we can get Mr. Glosson on the phone and see if we can get him and his opinion on the news from Star Wars Rebels, specifically the Sith Inquisitor. Come on, Steve. Go for Papa.
You have the Death Star with legs.
There he is, Mr. Steve Glosson. Yes. Hope you're doing all right this evening.
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Talking about all the news from, you know, New York Comic Con, specifically that Sith Inquisitor, which I think begs the question, what are your thoughts on the new Sith Inquisitor from Star Wars Rebels? You have 1 minute.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Glosson from Geek Out Loud. You can find us at geekoutpodcast.com on all our various shows that we have there, from Know What I'm Saying, Mark Out Loud, Steve's Star Wars Corner, and of course the flagship of the show, of the site, Geek Out Loud. Again, that's Steve Glosson, Geek Out Loud, Geek Out Loud podcast. Thoughts on the Imperial Inquisitor, or just the Inquisitor is what he's called. I like it. Steve out.
Fair enough.
Seconds remaining.
Shortest.
I like
shortest.
It too.
That's no moon. That's a Death Star with legs. Oh, that's the best intro ever.
Steve Star Wars second. All right. Okay. All right then. Well.
What did you guys think? It's interesting that they're using kind of because the Inquisitors are definitely an EU element. How does that, like? How do you guys feel about them using such an EU, something that was created in the expanded universe as such a big part of this show?
I think it's time for a new segment called Riley's Ignorance of the Star Wars Expanded Universe on the Star Wars Report Podcast. So, Aaron begs the question, what on earth is a Sith Inquisitor and where does he show up in the Star Wars Expanded Universe?
Was this a pre-planned segment or did you do that on the fly?
I just did that on the fly.
Impressive.
Most impressive.
And can I just say,
the music sounds like our end credits has nothing to do with it.
I was very excited when I heard that Steve Glosson was coming on for a second because I've never actually been on the same podcast as him.
Well, you had
and then he was gone in like 5 seconds.
A
and
glorious
I was like,
24.
But you can now say that you were on the same episode of a podcast.
I know. I can mark that off my bucket list. I actually already marked it off my bucket list.
He's got his
Star Wars Report featuring Aaron Goins and Steve Glosson.
On the same episode.
Well, but you've neglected the segment.
The Inquisitors, well, I mean, Mark might even know better than I do, but I mean, they're an EU element that is in this time period that basically the Empire was using them to help hunt down the Jedi. I know they show up
some
in like...
Some were dark Jedi. You know, you have some of the Kyle Katarn stuff. That was where they kind of originated from, was
right.
the Kyle Katarn books and stuff. But I don't know, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, but it always seemed like the Bantam era was where they kind of died out. We didn't see them much as the New Republic kind of...
Well, I know they reused... Port. Right, but they kind of used them a little bit in the Last Jedi novel series or the...
Yeah,
okay. You know what I'm talking about? The Coruscant Knights and the Last Jedi.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, yes, Nathan's favorite books.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the Old Republic, the Tor game, they also brought the Sith Inquisitors back as an element within the Empire themselves, which was a cool kind of EU throwback as well, because now you've got this aspect of, oh, hey, look, not only did Palpatine use them, but it was also a throwback to the old Sith Empire.
Well, this is,
we're
this
connected.
Is, this is,
I don't know if you guys read any of the web strips that they used to do on StarWars.com, but they actually had a villain character in that was like, his name was Inquisitor Tremaine, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, okay.
You know, so there is. You know, this has definitely been used and been done
there's precedent.
In EU before.
Well, and I like that.
Yeah,
I like
and it is in the Empire. I mean, when the Empire was in its heyday, it seems like there's like that 20, 25-year period. And then as the Rebellion and, you know, the Classic Era comes up, they kind of start to wane. You know, they're not as many out there. Maybe we'll see why. I don't know. It'd be exciting.
Yeah, I personally, I've enjoyed most of the EU aspects that were used in the Clone Wars, and I definitely don't mind them using that for Rebels either. Frankly, I just think it makes the show richer because they have so much material that they can draw on that's already out there, and that they already kind of know what works and what doesn't work to some degree, and I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's cool that they're doing it, and this is a big element of the EU. The fact that, I mean, some of the stuff they did in the Clone Wars was kind of like, oh, okay, here's Quinlan Vos for an episode.
Sure.
Or here's this for an episode. But the fact that they're bringing in an element straight out of the EU that is going to be the main villain.
Exactly.
That's a big difference than anything they've ever done in the Clone Wars.
Excellent point.
Well, and getting back to the backstory, I mean, what if we find out he's a fallen Jedi? I mean, because that was where a lot of the Inquisitors came from. The one that was Darth Jarek, I think, or something like that. Not Darth, but Inquisitor Jarek or something like that against Kyle Katarn, or Katarn. He was a fallen Jedi. So, you know, Palpatine would corrupt a lot of Jedi and turn them into his Inquisitors. So I'm curious to see where his backstory comes from. How much more of that homage do they plan to continue? I mean, recently I started saying I would love to see a scene in Episode 7 where we see the lead character through a Force vision or something where they see flashes of or visions of multiple futures. Maybe throw in a couple EU scenes in that regard. But I've really come to that whole the future is always in motion. And, you know, I've always said there's a multiverse, but I'm starting to look at the multiverse in that light, that it's just one stream in the Force.
Fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, and Aaron, it is a good point. It's a big deal for Expanded Universe fans, for Star Wars fans, to see that Disney's pulling from previously done material, whether it's T canon, G canon, Z canon. It's very good to see. And also, that concludes this segment. Let's find out what Riley knows about the Star Wars Expanded Universe. Okay. It's the Sith Inquisition. Okay.
Goose egg.
I'm going to expect to hear that segment every episode now.
I think it might have to be a thing.
I'll be all tossing just different things at him. Today, Yosmiri, go!
Hey, I do know what that is. All right.
Horus War, go!
Oh my goodness. Well, unfortunately, wow. This has been
I like this segment. I'm with Aaron on this one.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Unfortunately,
go.
Unfortunately, that's going to almost put this episode of the Star Wars Report to an end. It's a shorter episode, I know, but a couple things you guys do need to go before we head out. The first one is that, hey, head over to StarWarsReport.com to find everything that we've ever done. But more importantly, check out Lightsaber Rattling. I want to give that plug because Pete's doing some really, really amazing stuff over there. So definitely check out LightsaberRattling.com, where he's got all of his great stuff up, and he's got the Rebels Report podcast already going. I don't know how many people will be doing Star Wars Rebels podcasts, but we certainly won't be left out. We'll have more details on that announcement very soon. You never know. Super cool stuff coming. But that puts this episode of the Star Wars Report in the books. Hey, this episode has been brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. Head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys for a great selection of Star Wars action figures and collectibles, including the vintage Kenner Collection. The Kenner Collection. Hey, they've got the 12-inch Wampa and the 12-inch Luke Skywalker from the old vintage Empire Strikes Back days, and you can purchase that and much more over at StarWarsReport.com/toys. That's Big Bad Toy Store, and we thank them for their support of the Star Wars Report podcast. Hey, contact us. Our email is StarWarsReport@gmail.com. It's Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport, and leave us an iTunes review. We always appreciate those. You can go over to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and it takes you right there. It's super easy to leave this. So if you're listening to this right now on an Apple device, an iPad, iPhone, iPod, Apple TV, goodness, I think they'll have those up soon. Then, hey, leave us an iTunes review. Much appreciated as always. Subscribe to the show and make sure that you get every episode. Don't miss a minute of this kind of shenanigans. Oh, my goodness. Thank you guys for coming on. And, hey, Aaron, thank you so much for giving us your time and your coverage of New York Comic Con. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Always happy to talk to you guys.
Oh, man. Good times. And where can folks find you on the web?
Basically, if you want to listen to my podcast, Star Wars Bookworms, we review all the books and comics as they're coming out. You can find us on iTunes. And then otherwise, you can just search for my name. I'll be on other places.
That's the way it goes. Just search the old Google. That's always a good tool. And we thank you, as always, Aaron, for coming on and for being part of the Star Wars Report family here. So, yes, Star Wars Bookworms, good times. Hey, I'm an episode behind, but I'm catching up on the Rebel Force radio interview with Jimmy Mack talking Kenobi. So, cool. Enjoying that episode.
Yeah,
for sure. And Mr. Herleman, thank you, as always.
Yub, Commander.
See, I got that reference. I got that reference!
Oh,
and as always, you can find me on Twitter at the Riley Guy. Mark can be found at Illogical Rogue 2. Aaron can be found at AV Goins. Bethany can be found at Bethany L. Blanton. I mentioned mine, right? Yeah. So those are the Twitters. Follow us up on Twitter and keep an eye on StarWarsReport.com for some really cool imminent announcements about Star Wars Rebels, probably. So that'll be really fun. And hey, if you're interested in future projects that I'm doing, keep an eye out on RileyBlanton.com. I'll be doing some stuff there pretty soon, hopefully. We'll see how it goes. All right, that does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Episode 109 is in the can. We thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week for more Star Wars goodness, Star Wars fun, Clone Wars fun, Rebels fun, Star Wars Episode 7 fun. A lot of rumors that we haven't had a chance to talk about today. I'm sure we will next week. And hey, don't forget to leave us a voicemail. You can find it at StarWarsReport.com. Find the voicemail hotline. Call in your feedback for what you thought of all this news or what you think of the news and rumors for Episode 7. And that does it. This episode is over.
May the Force
be with you. We're going home!
End of line.
is he, Mark? Where is he?
He's sleeping. Hold on. Wake up.
Okay. All right.
There he is.
Hey. I thought the episode was engaging. Apparently, you got bored.
Jeez.